Go ahead.
My name's Tony. I'm a sex and love addict.
Tony.
This is my first in-person slam meeting, so it's interesting to see faces instead of the boxes. I've been coming, I think, for over a year now, because I write down my dates on my writing assignments. But anywho's, what it was like. So I grew up first-generation American. My dad was a preacher. My mom was, or is an accountant. She was kind of the main breadwinner. So she was kind of gone a lot. So dad was home. And it was through work in this program that I realized I wasn't hugged very much, or held or comforted. If anything, it was more, my dad was a beat us, he beat my mom. So that was kind of the physical. And then when I was young, I think it started around 4 years old, a lot of sexual molestation, like older cousins, uncles, that kind of thing. And so it was really confusing. Physical affection was very confusing for that reason. So then fast forward to kind of like teenagerhood. Now I have that severe lack of boundaries because I was taught early on that, you know, my body was up for grabs, you know? But it was still confusing because now I'm a teenager and now it like still feels good, but it's still, I still knew it was wrong. But it was helping me. I started seeing it like as an escape from home life, and even escape from those experiences as a kid, because now, even though I'm like 15, 16, sleeping with 35-year-olds or 30-year-olds, it's my choice, you know what I mean? Even though I very much wasn't, I still knew it was wrong, but it's it got me away from the house, it got me away from my dad, it got me away from the feelings of like growing up gay in a very religious household, very religious household. And yeah, it helped me escape. And I didn't put that until I started this program. Religion was kind of an escape until I realized that gay was not okay there, at least where I was going. It was a safe haven until it wasn't. And then what else happened? Then college happened. My mom divorced him, got a new guy, who was severely homophobic. So that was interesting. Was kicked out of the house, became homeless for a little bit, but still went to college. And it went from sex to sex and academics. And so I threw myself in academics. Then I didn't have to feel, but it was also take me out of my situation, physically take me out of my situation. And it did. But in college, it became way worse because now I have a dorm room. And so now I have a place to host. So that went wild. I didn't realize, like, to give you an example, there was a bet if I could reach a certain number of men. And I did. And it was like a badge of honor, but I didn't realize how damaging that was. In my mind, it was like a sexual reclaiming or sexual revolution. Like, this is what it means to be gay. I can sleep with whoever, and it's my choice, and I'm in control. When I very much was not. I was not in control at all. Then I had a stroke and almost died, and now I can't. The one person I could rely on was me, and I could always focus on, rely on myself, but now my body can't. I can't rely on my own body, so I was like, fuck it. I had the fuck it. Not the very first fuck it, but yeah. I said, I might not live till 40. I might not live till, certainly not 50, etc. So I went crazy. I was 26 when that happened. So drugs were the next escape from there. And I went wild. Alcohol was crazy. So was meth. And then I realized I could do both sex and drugs. And throughout that whole time, thought I wasn't worth loving. Definitely fear of not being enough. Who could love someone that's gonna die soon? Who's gonna love someone that's had all these experiences and is now dirty and unclean and blah, 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 all the shit that we tell ourselves. And that was going through my brain, and drugs could numb it. Sex could numb it. It was all an escape. Constant escape from a very young childhood. So then, yeah. So that was kind of like what it was like in terms of what got me here, specifically to SLA. I was sober. I needed to be chemically sober to understand that this was kind of always the route. That being taught so early on as a kid that my body was just up for grabs, that I had no boundaries, and if I wanted any physical attention or any attention or any or an escape from feeling, then I could say, then I can reach out to whoever gave me that, regardless of whether I was attracted to them or not. It got me out of my own head, so to speak. And so what happened? What I had like 2 years, I think, like 2 years and 2 months or so, sober from drugs and alcohol, and I went to an event, a pride event. With my Eskimo and his boyfriend, and it was supposed to be like five of us at this place, and it ended up essentially being them two and me, and then the guy that was bouncing around all over the place, but it was just a couple of me. And as soon as I get there, I find out my godfather had passed. Like, I'm talking, we hadn't even gotten to the Airbnb. We went to a store, and then we were going, and I found out there that my godfather had died, and we were very close. And that was kind of the excuse in retrospect that allowed me to just be like, because I had set boundaries with them. I'm like, I'm not sleeping with you guys, I'm not sleeping with anyone in the house. I had a casual sex plan, or no, I didn't have, that was before. That was sort of my boundary setting, but I crossed those boundaries immediately. Slept with them the next day, not that night, but the next day, and I went wild. And I didn't realize or put two and two together that I was using sex as a drug at then, that I was trying to use sex to not think about my uncle, not think about I'm here with a couple, one who was always interested in me, but always like crossing boundaries, but I was letting my boundaries be crossed. He had slept with me in early sobriety, and I had slept with him. I own that too. But anyways, long story long. Once they were done, we went back to the house. He said, like, "Can you give us a moment?" And in my head, logically, I knew. They're a couple, they want alone time. Logically, I get that, but I thought we had a connection and blah, 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 and going through all the, like, what could we be now? Are we a throuple now? You know, going through all that rigmarole. And then, and I was stinging, so, you know, went on the apps, and that whole week, both there and at home, and then this other guy rejected me. And so another guy was available 6 minutes away, and he had drugs, but I wouldn't do the drugs. But I knew that he just wanted a body. Didn't matter who it was, he just wanted a body. And so it was simple, and I relapsed. Took a while, but I did relapse. So that's essentially what happened. I had been with my sponsor for for like two and a half years and change, and they had said we need to. How much time do I have?
5 minutes.
I have 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Okay. sorry. So he said, get a wow. That goes fast. He said, go and get. Go to rehab. I thought I had to quit my job. Therapist said no. And I really felt like I had to deal with this. And I had this really prophetic dream. And dreams usually go away, but it stuck with me. Still, I can still remember the details now. But long story short, there was a temple and there was like a sex den. And everyone in there, I was like, oh, that's exciting. But everyone in there was like buried into the cave, and ants were crawling up on them. They looked like they were having fun from afar. As soon as I closed, they were just getting eaten alive, and it stuck with me. And I said, I have to deal with this. So I left my sponsor. I reached out to Glenn through someone. It's been the perfect fit because he lets me. He's a mentor for sure, but he is on the journey with me. And I'm learning what's good for Tony, what works for me to build myself, because I need that now. In terms of what it's like now, what helps, I was very against having a limit on my sexual behavior. And then he broke it down in like 30-day plans. Very useful. If you don't have a sponsor, get a sponsor. if you don't have a higher power, super against God and the word God and books and all that stuff, but my higher power started at the meeting until now I have one. Because the meeting, other people's experiences and what is working for them is great. It's already a greater power. It's already something that's greater than myself because it's working for them. So maybe it could work for me. Casual sex plan. Worked with a lot of stumbling. I figured out I could have sex, but what does healthy sex like look for me? What are boundaries? What boundaries do I need? A sexual recovery plan that was done in 30-day increments also. Being specific. Seeing what works, being introspective, lots of writing assignments, but truly getting into what I need and having a voice and not jumping into relationships that are no good for me. There's 2 minutes. Not jumping into relationships that are not good for me, that are not healthy, because I think they'll fill some void, you know? Now I'm in a relationship. It's wild. I'm an individual. I'm not trying to be what he wants me to be or what I feel that he wants me to be. He's not on a pedestal. He's not my everything. He's not my higher power. We talk about things. And we have like little, I've grown so much, regardless of whether it works out, which is another, like, I could see the healthy thinking in that, regardless of whether it works out, I've learned a lot. And that wasn't something, if I went into the fantasy of like, oh, if it doesn't work out, I'm gonna, you know, jump off a building or something crazy. But no, I've learned a lot. When we have discussions and none of them are personal attacks. They're actual just talks. I don't take things personally. It's not his way or the highway. I actually have a voice, and I insist on having a voice. What else? Those are in terms of intrigue. Sorry, I didn't talk about it. I said how much. Oh, wow. Okay. Intrigue, I just see it as a dangling carrot that I would get a fix from, kind of like bag chasing, if you will. But I would see them as like a lot of little rain checks. of books even that I could like fly away from, but I'm a lot more rooted in what actual reality is and what is being presented of me, so I can actually respond instead of react. You can't be disappointed if you're actually receiving in real time what people are giving to you. That's my time, I guess. I hope you got something out of it.